Okay, we're going to look at chapter 9 today in 1 Corinthians. We're in lesson 15. We're going to talk about the sacrifice of freedom. Now, just even that title goes against the grain with us. Okay, rubs us wrong. Because we, especially as Americans, we like to have the concept that I have freedom to do whatever I want to. And so I'm just going to do what I'm going to do. You know what I'm saying? And those are principles that we are have, as a society, have been founded on and so forth. And so the concept of giving up my freedom or the ability to do what I want to do is really foreign to us. But to be honest with you, when you talk about giving up freedom, while we have freedom in Christ, Christianity actually communicates that we need to learn to give up our freedoms. And you say, what? Yeah, give up our freedoms for the sake of other people. Okay? For the sake of other people. So we're going to look at this together. So let's focus, first of all, on Paul's personal sacrifice. So I want you to notice with me verse 19 through 23 of chapter 9. Here's what the apostle writes, okay? For though I am free from all, I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win more of them. To the Jews, I became a Jew in order to win Jews. To those under the law, I became as one under the law, though not myself, not being myself under the law, that I might win those under the law. To those outside of the law, I became as one outside the law, not being outside the law of God, but under the law of Christ, that I might win those outside the law. To the weak, I became weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all people, that by all means I might save some. I do it all for the sake of the gospel, that I may share with them in its blessings. All right, so let's talk about what he's talking about here. I mean, these are passages that we're familiar with. Sometimes we're familiar with things, but we don't really think about what's being said. So let's think about what he's saying here, okay? So the first thing I want you to notice is that Paul voluntarily gave up his right for the sake of others. He was willing to give up what he wanted for the sake of other people. Now that is so countercultural, okay? Especially in our age where everybody wants, you know, it's what I want, period, and you just have to deal with it. Paul's attitude was completely different. Paul was willing, all right, so first of all, he talks about he was willing to subject himself to the law of the Jews for their sake. So if he wanted to reach Jews, it's easy for him because he is a Jew. He acted as a Jew, okay? So for a Jew, I became a Jew. Why? To reach them, okay? To reach them. He was also willing to set aside the tradition of the Jews to reach Gentiles. So whatever it took to reach a Gentile, he was willing to do that. Now I think it's interesting, when you look at three groups here, there are three groups in this passage that he talks about. And I think this is interesting. He talks about, for the Jew, he became a Jew. Then he says, for those under the law, he placed himself under the law. Then those outside of the law, he what? He was outside of the law. Now, we know who's outside of the law, right? Gentiles. We understand Jews. Who's he talking about when he says those under the law? Who's he talking about? Well, Jews, but a certain type of Jew. Pharisees, that's exactly right, Mike. Pharisees. Now, what was it about Pharisees and the law with them? What was it about these folks? Very strict in their following of the law. Now, some of them came to know Christ, right? And when they came to know Christ, did they all of a sudden loosen up? No, if ever. And so then they wanted to what? Impose the law on everyone else. That's why some of the big arguments in the New Testament are about should Gentiles keep the law? It's because these folks were raising it. Now, what Paul's saying here is, look at this. I think this is interesting. He was willing to do whatever to reach whatever group. For with just a Jew, he would be a Jew. For those who were Jewish who were under the law, he was willing to be under the law. But for those outside of the law, he was willing to be outside. Now, what do you think the implications are for us? Okay, Bruce said meet people where they are. Anybody else?
There's so much tradition.
Okay.
That they grew up or.
Yes.
They had all that tradition and everything. It'd be hard to just cut that off.
Okay.
You'd have to lean both ways.
All right, that's good, Mike. So you mentioned there was so much tradition. And so for the Pharisee, they lived a lot according to the traditions. Okay? And so for not just with any Jews, because not all Jews lived according to the traditions, right? But there were certain Jews that did. So for those Jews, he lived according to what? The traditions. Yeah, the law. Okay. Now the implication is this. Do you meet different types of people? You meet different types of Christians? Yeah, every day, right? Are some Christians more strict than you? Gene says, oh my, yeah. Okay, yes, right? Okay. I sometimes find it irritating when I'm with people who are really traditional and legalistic. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's like, man, I don't want to live under that bondage. But Paul's attitude is, I'm trying to reach people. So for the sake of that one, I'll be okay with that one with his traditions. I won't be bound by them, but for the sake of reaching them, do you understand what I'm saying? I'll do what I have to do. That's his attitude here. Do you understand what I'm saying? That's his attitude. He's willing to set aside his own personal preference to reach people. Do you understand what I'm saying? To reach people. So he's willing to set aside those traditions to reach people for Christ. Now why? He was willing to give up his rights for the spiritually immature. That's really what the issue is. We've been talking about that anyhow before, haven't we? You know, about meat offered to idols. If you're mature, you realize an idol isn't anything. I'm going to enjoy that steak. But for somebody who just came out of paganism and he realizes that steak came from the temple because it was part of a sacrifice given to Zeus, I can't eat that steak. Well, Paul says in my maturity, I'm going to give up eating steak that day when I'm with that person because I'm concerned about what? That person. This is a whole different mindset here. This is a mindset of considering others before yourself. Okay? Considering others before yourself. And so his whole purpose here, he did this so that the gospel would be heard by as many people as possible. That's the whole reason why he's doing this. He did this so that he could allow the gospel to be heard by as many people as possible. That's why he's doing it. He's not doing it for what can I get out of life. He's doing it so that other people come to know Jesus. That's the whole purpose of why he's doing it. Now look with me at verse 24 through 27. Okay, through the end of the chapter. Do you not know that in a race, all the runners run, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. So I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air. But I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. Now you're probably thinking, wow, he just changed the subject here. What in the world is he talking? I thought we were just talking about giving up freedoms. And now he's talking about his whole aim, his purpose, why he does what he does. Well, he's going to talk about running the race. And here's the things I want you to see here, okay? All right, here's what I want you to notice. First of all, the focus of an athlete is the prize. Everybody agree with that? You know, when somebody, we're going to have the Super Bowl here, what, next weekend? Those guys are going to run out on the field. They're not there to just look good, right? Some of them maybe think they are, but I mean, they're there to what? Win the Super Bowl. Do you know what I'm saying? They're there to win the Super Bowl. When a person is doing a marathon, they're not there just to sweat. Do you know what I'm saying? They're not just there to go through the motions for nothing. They're trying to achieve something. Maybe it's beat their own record, or maybe if they're really good, try to win the thing, okay? But the point is that they're doing it for a purpose, all right? That's the focus, is the prize. Paul is calling the reader to live life with such a focus. He's calling you and I to live our lives with the focus of what's right. And what would that focus be? What did you say, Jane? To win that person or anyone to Christ, right? I'm living my life for who? For Christ and for others, rather than living it for who? Myself. Because let's be honest, it's easy to default to living for myself, right? You know, it's easy to default there. But the reality is that you understand that it's not about you. So for instance, if you enter into a marriage relationship and then you end up with a family later on, you know, one of the hard things for young couples when they get married is learning that it's not about you anymore, right? Well, especially when you get older in your marriage, and especially when you have kids, especially when kids come along, you realize real quick, it isn't about you anymore. Do you know what I'm saying? It's not about you. And a lot of times when you think it is about you, you actually create problems. Well, life, that's just a reflection of what life is like. The same thing is true in Christianity. Christianity, your walk with Jesus isn't about you. It's about him and you responding to the salvation that he gave you by serving him and then wanting others to know him. Did you understand what I'm saying? So he's calling us to live our lives with such a focus. Focus on what? Christ, the relationship. The athlete will discipline his life to win a race, okay? The athlete will do what he has to do. So you guys know that tomorrow I'm not going to enter into any local marathon around here, right? I'm just going to say, I'm going to do it. I'm going to run. How long is the marathon, Bruce? Yeah, 26.2. I couldn't even run 26.2 feet, okay? You know that I'm not in shape to do that, okay? You know, maybe a hot dog eating contest, but not, you know, not a marathon, okay? I'm not practiced for that. But an athlete disciplines his life to what? Do the race, to run, right? You and I need to do the same thing. An athlete will give up the things of life to win. He'll give up the things of life to win. Yeah, that's, I guess, a real important point here. Because let's be honest, some of the things that we focus on, that we get fixated on, if I only had this, and then you drive your entire life to it, then have you noticed that when you get it, it really isn't the satisfying thing that you thought it would be? 10 minutes. Wow, Gene, that's a long time. Yeah, if you're lucky, 10 minutes. Do you understand what I'm saying? The stuff that we strive for, do you know what I'm saying? The stuff that we want, we try to achieve, it's only momentary. It doesn't even bring the satisfaction. Do you know what I'm saying? So sometimes it's okay to give up things for something better, for something bigger. So an athlete will give up things in life. So the athlete races for that which is temporary. Now, this is where Paul wants to distinguish things. So with an athlete, it's temporary, right? So I always think it's interesting, you know, during football season, high school football season, who makes the playoffs, who wins, all right? How long does that last? Maybe a month? Then we're what? Talking about the next season, right? Or better yet, how about hunting? You know what I'm saying? Hunting, and you get that buck. How long does that last? What's that? Till it's all gone, yeah. Until there's dust gathering on the rack that's in your room, right? You know what I'm saying? And then you're what? Out the next season wanting what? Another buck, a bigger buck, or is there such thing? Or maybe there is, or a different kind, or whatever, okay? There's no satisfaction in things in life. But an athlete is doing it. He's racing, but it's only temporary. But we're racing. Paul tells his reader that we're racing for the eternal. This is why. So listen, why this discussion about what we're racing for, what we're striving for? Well, it gets back to the whole issue of what you're willing to give up. It's you giving up your freedoms for the sake of others. Because your focus is on what? What matters, what doesn't matter. You're saying what I want doesn't matter? Ultimately, it doesn't. Did you know what I'm saying? Ultimately, it doesn't. What matters is what should matter. You know, it's interesting. I being a pastor now 30 years, I've been with folks as they get ready to depart this world. And, you know, I once read someone say, you've never heard anybody ask for more time in the office. What do folks focus on when they're ready to go? Family, yeah. More time with their loved ones. Do you understand what I'm saying? More time with others. It's not what I missed that vacation, didn't achieve the bucket list, whatever that is. That stuff is meaningless. What matters is people, right? And Paul says, I'm willing to give up what is mine because my focus is on God and others and wanting others to know who? The Lord.